Heavenly Father, Lord, so many stories in this room here this morning. So many stories like Lydia, Lord, and I just pray that, Lord, as you open up your word and open our hearts and minds, that you would take us back. Lord, we recognize, and maybe we need to be reminded that you would move heaven and earth, that one of us, that one of your creation would be saved, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, you moved heaven and earth to open our hearts, to hear your gospel, to receive your grace and your love. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning who hasn't, please, we ask that you'd open their eyes and their heart, that your word would do its perfect work. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, fill this place. Lord, and I just pray that blessed and highly favored would just sink down and have a completely new meaning, a real meaning in our lives. We thank you and praise you for all that you have done and will continue to do in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. I was just kind of thinking about, you know, I'm on a bumper sticker kick. We'll probably address another one. I might step on some toes. I was thinking about this morning, and, you know, when you ask how people are doing, a very popular response is, I'm blessed and highly favored. How many have used that before? Have you really considered how blessed you are and just how highly favored you are when you say those things? Let me ask you a question this morning. Did you find the secret, or did the secret find you? And there may be somebody in this room, in the sanctuary this morning, who used to have the bumper sticker, I found the secret. And it's kind of an interesting thing, and if you ever thought about it, I don't know that we ever found the secret. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, which begs the question, who has been seeking whom? It blows my mind this morning that I am one that was sought after. Have you ever considered that for a moment when you think about the when we say we're highly favored? Throw in that understanding that you were sought after. You were sought after. That my appointment to meet my Savior was written in a divinely kept calendar and was actually brought about by divinely orchestrated plans and events. You see, he found me. I was the lost that he came to seek and save. Do you know that you were the lost that he came to seek and save? He found me. He found you. I don't want to bum anybody out this morning. There's really no cause for alarm for what I'm about to say concerning Calvary Chapel of Oakland County. But Calvary Chapel is seeker-friendly. Jesus is always welcome here. You see, he's the seeker. And we'll always keep our doors open for any of the sought-after to come in and meet their Savior. We are seeker-friendly. And consider this morning, whether you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or even if you have not made that decision yet, but you're here to know if God is real and that he cares for you, listen, you are here by divine appointment because you are sought after. You're highly favored. Well, I think that we can all relate to this, to Lydia. Yet do we all consider what Jesus has done in order to make that appointment? I was thinking about, you know, I just going back over and over the things that God has done in my own life. There's really too many things to really account for. But it's fun to go back. It's really a blessing to go back and relive and bring up those things and understand just how God directed that appointment, the things that he arranged and moved in order to open up my heart and my eyes. You know, one of the realities is sitting here this morning, he had to blind the eyes of a woman. To love me and get me to move from California. That was divinely orchestrated. That was the Lord moving in my life to get me where he wanted me to be, to keep a divine appointment. And he's done that in every one of our lives. Isn't that amazing? And we're going to see just a picture, really a glimpse of this in the life of a woman as he is certainly directing and orchestrating this group of men, this apostle Paul, and it's just what a glorious picture we have here. And it says, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis. And this is really a neat picture. Therefore, reverts us back to what we had looked at last week, and how these men were being led by the Holy Spirit of God. They believed and you know, their heart, Paul's heart, was to go and preach the gospel. Yet, as he would leave Galatia and had a heart to go to Asia, it just made sense. Maybe we'll go south, you know? And we talked about how God can't steer a life that's not moving. He can't steer faith that's not moving, just like a car cannot be steered if it's sitting still. And these men started for, you know, Paul, they started to head south and they were forbidden. And it wasn't that he was forbidding them to preach the gospel, it was their heart's desire. He just wasn't going to let them go to the area of Asia yet. We know that God already had a plan for Asia. And so, being forbidden, they turned to the north and they came to Mysia. And when they got there, they thought, well, let's go to the bottom of the Dead Sea and to Bithynia. And as they started heading there, they were not permitted to go by the Holy Spirit of God. And as they move, the Lord is directing this man and these men. And so they're directed because it made no sense to go home. Their heart was to continue. They believed that the Lord certainly had sent them out to take the message of the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so they headed west. And as they did, they would end up in Troas, and that is where Luke joined them. Dr. Luke, who not only wrote this book of the Acts of the early church and the Acts of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit in the church and the importance of the Holy Spirit in the church, he also wrote the Gospel of Luke. So God had certainly a divine plan in that meeting as they came to Troas. And as they're in Troas and Dr. Luke joins them, Paul is given a vision of a man in Macedonia asking and pleading for them to come to Macedonia and help. These men were meant to keep an appointment made by God, and they were being divinely directed the whole way. You see, there was a person that God had in mind and had made an appointment for. Each and every one of us are that person. Isn't that amazing? Think about that for a second. Recall when you were saved. Who was it that was sharing the gospel? Was it a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a parent, a brother, a sister, a friend? Whoever it was, that person, listen, he was a plant. God directed to share his message of love and grace with you. And God has been directing things behind the scenes in each and every one of our lives, even to be here today. These men were being led by the Holy Spirit of God, and they were being led to go to a city called Philippi. And so sailing from Troas, they would go to Samothrace, which was an island in the middle of the Aegean Sea. It would be a stop off, pick up provisions. And then they would continue to Neapolis, which is the port city of Philippi, only a couple miles away. It took them 2 days to sail, basically we're told, from Troas to Neapolis. Later in Acts, we're going to find that this is really kind of astounding because they would make a return trip from Neapolis back to Troas, and it would take them over 5 days to get back. We see the hand of God even in the moving as they're in the boat heading over the Aegean Sea towards Europe. But something phenomenal was taking place here. The wind was blowing directly from Troas to Neapolis, directly. For they made a direct or a straight course is what we're told. And even behind the scenes, we see God conducting the winds as he sends these men to this appointment that he has made. They made a straight course. And so what we have seen, and when God makes a divine appointment, he directs the messengers. He'll use whatever is in his power to get those messengers where they need to be. And here we see him directing even the wind. There's a specific time frame that needed to be kept, a specific time on a specific day in which God's appointment was made and God was going to get those men there for it. And so verse 12, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. And there's a reason why a colony is inserted there. It was the premier city of that region. And what it meant to be considered a colony outside of Rome or Rome, the Roman province proper, was that it was given special status. In fact, it was given the special status that a Roman city had with all the considerations that were not given to other cities or other areas. And Philippi, because it was given that special status, actually was known to be a popular retirement area for Roman officials and politicians. It was an extremely prosperous city. No doubt the center of worship revolved around the pantheons that were found in so many of the prominent cities there, the pantheons and the buildings that were built to Roman gods. And so we get this picture. There was money, there was privilege, there was importance, there was certainly a religion or a observance of religion in this city. And so being a privileged city, it was the idea was that any freeman, those that weren't a servant or a slave, any freeman in Philippi would be considered to have all the rights of a Roman citizen. Pretty amazing place. Regardless of their heritage, all the benefits of Rome in a foreign land is what they would have there. I'd liken it to the privilege of being a citizen of the United States, affording that privilege to others. And now we know that that privilege today has certainly or is certainly being cheapened to a great extent. But I think that as these things arise, as we look at really what was going on in Philippi, Paul, 12 years later, would write a letter back to the Philippians reminding them, and you know, in my mind, they very well could have been facing some of the same things that's happening here in the United States of America. He would say in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "For our citizenship is in heaven." And I get frustrated. I think we all get frustrated with the, you know. Well, praise God because he's holding my tongue. The Spirit's holding my tongue. The ridiculousness of what we see going on. And instead of being frustrated, I mean, just for me and maybe we all need to be reminded, look, our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here anyways. That doesn't mean roll over and give up. But he said, "From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. No doubt as the church grew in Philippi, it's very likely the reason Paul would write this, because we know that anybody that accepted Jesus Christ in many of those provinces were really kind of, you know, they were putting possibly their livelihood on the line. They were putting their relationships with their friends and family on the line. And as the church grew, we're going to see that Paul and the guys are, Paul and Silas at least, are going to be thrown into jail because their ministry and their message was starting to affect, the society there, and they didn't like it. And the message of the gospel was inciting some hatred, inciting those who would come against it. And so it's possible that as Paul would write this, that in Philippi, the rights and the privileges were being restricted if you profess to be a Christian. Just as Christianity is under attack today by many organizations like the ACLU, it may have originated in Philippi. Pretty soon, they're going to want to tell us what we can and cannot say, who we can and cannot talk to. And we need to remember that our citizenship isn't here, is it? So Philippi was an influential city in Macedonia, and Paul and his companions took a few days, we're told, to get their bearings, and they were staying in that city for some days. You know, most of the, and what we see, the pattern for Paul's ministry, they get to a city, and the first thing they do is they head to the synagogue, right? And so they're in the city, but it doesn't say, and, you know, they entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. So it's very likely they're trying to find the synagogue and learn that there were no synagogues in Philippi. And it could be a number of different reasons. Certainly, one of them was that in order for a synagogue to exist, there had to be at least 10 Jewish men in that city that would come together and establish the synagogue. So very likely that there weren't 10 Jewish men that were in the city. And certainly the first thing that Paul and the guys would do was they would go seek out any Jewish brethren and establish, you know, their time frame and what they're going to do as far as ministry is concerned there in Philippi. About 1 year before Paul had come to Philippi, Claudius, we're told, had driven all of the Jews out of the Roman cities, out of the Roman provinces. And so Philippi, being a colony and having all of the rights of a Roman city, would be one of the cities that the Jews most likely would have been driven out of. So the reason there was not a synagogue, and we're not even told that Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke would find even a Jewish man or woman. What we're told is they find some people, we're going to see is they find some people holding a prayer meeting. Isn't that interesting? And so they had been driven most likely out of it. And so there were no Jews for Paul and his company to find contact with. And so, verse 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. And I like this. They evidently find out about an odd group that held a Sabbath religious observance. We are not told that they are of Jewish influence. Certainly, there is that understanding of the Jewish faith and Judaism that believed in one God that met on Sabbath. And so it sounded Jewish for sure. I'm sure Paul and the guys are thinking, well, maybe if there are any, these are the ones that are meeting, because there's no other religious observance that holds Sabbath as the holy day. So Paul and his group decide to go and see what or who this was who made it an observance to go down to the riverside to pray on the Sabbath. And I really like the scene and the setting. when they get there, they find what? They find a group of women praying. And you kind of wonder, where's the guys, right? Just so you know, a number of them were here on Saturday enjoying a breakfast yesterday. But imagine that, where, you know, the vision that Paul had gotten was a man from Macedonia, wasn't it? And when he gets there and finds that there's no synagogue, but there's a group meeting on Sabbath, and goes down to see what that's about, he runs into a group of women who are down praying. Kind of interesting. He may have been thinking, well, this isn't the vision that I got. Where's the guy that I'm supposed to meet with? And a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And so on this Sabbath, Paul goes down with Silas and Timothy and Luke. And they find among this group of women was this particular woman named Lydia. We believe, and from reading, that she was the leader of the prayer meeting. And Paul and Silas and the guys sit down with them and begin to speak with them. And I like that. They just begin to have a conversation. He's not preaching the gospel. He's not teaching the scriptures. But they sit down. I'm sure they're trying to find out what it was that caused these women to come down and observe Saturday as a holy day and to pray by the riverside. How they had, you know, and what their beliefs were. Where does their faith rest? What is their understanding of who God is? And I see, you know, there an opportunity for all of us in the lives of others to sit down and just begin speaking with others. And Paul, and they aren't there to preach at anybody. They're there to find out what was going on. And so they sit down and probably listen to the stories of these ladies, the story of Lydia, how she had come from Thyatira, which was renowned for their purple ink, which was found in the throat of a certain mollusk that was there off of the coast in the Mediterranean Sea. About one drop per mollusk. So it was a painstaking process to make this wool of purple. And so it was a very expensive commodity. So no doubt she was one of privilege and of wealth. And so as they're talking, I'm sure it's starting to dawn upon Paul that the man from Macedonia was actually Lydia, which may have caused some confusion. But, you know, these Jewish men from Israel may still have had some cultural hurdles to overcome. And it may have been that Paul was carrying some baggage, having been amongst the Pharisees under the tutelage of Gamaliel, one of the probably the greatest of the Pharisees in the Sanhedrin. And the rabbis said concerning teaching scriptures to women back then that it is better that the words of the law be burned than be delivered to a woman. And so God, knowing the Holy, you know, knowing the heart of man, and certainly through the Holy Spirit, brought this vision in order to get these guys down to the riverside with these women who were praying. Galatians 3:28, Paul would write this: there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And certainly they were learning this along the way. Paul understanding, being given that ministry to the Gentiles specifically, even told as he was on the road to Damascus that as he was being blinded that God had separated him for that purpose. But isn't that beautiful? Galatians 3:28, listen, true women's liberation and the great emancipation proclamation are all held right there in that scripture in Galatians 3:28. God has set all free and put all on equal footing. Yet to lead with teaching to the women may have been a challenge for them. I don't know. God gave them a vision of a man in Macedonia, but took them specifically, we find, to minister to a woman named Lydia. And although we can't Oh, this wasn't the way they usually did it, you know? They didn't start in the synagogue. This wasn't what they were used to. Not only was God directing the messenger, he was directing the wind. God was directing this appointment and the method by which they would meet. Nevertheless, as they speak to the women, their words were words that would resonate with one woman in particular there, and it was this woman, Lydia. She was from Thyatira, as I said, a seller of purple. And it says that she believed in God. She believed in one God. She believed that there was a true God that was a creator of heaven and earth. She knew that there were others who believed in one God, and she wanted to know more. And as she observed Sabbath worship, as she was down there praying, it's acknowledged that she had a heart for God, but she didn't know him personally, and so God was answering her prayers. The Lord opened her heart. It does not mean that he made the decision for her, what she would believe and what she would not believe. You see, the word for opened here is the same word used in Luke as Jesus Christ was on the road to Emmaus. Remember that? Caught up with a couple of the disciples. And he started talking to them, and they started telling them about the hope that they had in Jesus that they had followed and how he had died. And, you know, that now they didn't know what to do. And it says that Jesus started from the law, from Moses, the Psalms, and through the prophets, and started telling them of all the scriptures that spoke of Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 31 and 32, then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? That he opened the scriptures. It's the same idea. That he had opened her heart. He had opened her up heart to receive. There was something going on as the message and the gospel and was being shared as they spoke, and as she started realizing that her prayers were being answered and that these men were there to share about the God that she had been seeking. It speaks of the Word of God doing what God promises it will do. It will accomplish his purpose. It will not return to him void. And it was accomplishing that purpose that day in the heart of Lydia, as Paul shared with her. And she listened to Paul. And it says her heart was opened. He was describing God in a way that she had yearned to know him. Does this bring back any memories? As you sought to know him more. Paul may have shared how God had revealed himself to Abraham, and we know that, you know, we know the messages that God that Paul preached, that he was in fact the one true God that she had desired to know. And as you if you've read through the letter to the Philippians to get an idea of what was being born here in the ministry that Paul had in Philippians at the time, it gives us an idea, and as I'm reading it, I almost hear Paul sharing this message to Lydia and it becoming the foundational message to those that would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5. You know, I'll give you a second. I'll give you a second. I don't think I put that on for the overhead. So why don't you turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Blessed are those who hear, those who read. And then we're going to see those who heed, because it was evident in the life of Lydia. Paul saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And just so you understand, I mean, people, it's kind of, what that verbiage means is this. He was divine in nature. He claimed to be divine in nature. And he was, you know, he had no issue with claiming that divinity. He was God in the flesh, very, very God and very, very man. No doubt Paul preaching that everywhere he would go and teaching that Jesus was the Christ who came down from heaven, leapt the glory of heaven, came down And then he goes on, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Hey, Lydia, let me tell you about the God that you're seeking. He loves you so much that he sent his only son. His son came down from heaven to become a sacrifice for you. Whatever you may know of of Judaism and the observances in the temple and the sacrifices that have been made throughout history, God has put an end to it by sending his only son to die and give himself as a sacrifice once for all. Amazing. And it goes on, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Yeah, amen. And listen, if you have not made that decision and today's your divine appointment, don't ignore it. You will one day, you will bow and confess that he is Lord. But he's given each and every one of us this opportunity to confess it and profess it today. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, and he's speaking here to the church at Philippians, and I believe that this heart that he is writing to was born that day with Lydia, as we're going to see, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And certainly Paul is one that understands that God's work, that it's God at work, that it was God at work that turned him from the south and turned him from the north and made him go west to get on a ship to go and preach to this woman, Lydia, and begin this work in Philippi that has an effect today on you and me. Amazing. And he said, we'll stop there. So, no doubt Lydia can look back and think, that's what spoke to me. You and I can certainly look back, and as the messenger was sent, as God directed the messenger into our life and orchestrated the method by which, whether it was in a church or you're just hanging out with a friend, whatever it might be, how God's spoken to our lives, isn't it what each of us wanted to know, that God loved us? That he cared about us. What a message that he would come and he would give his life so that we can know him. And no doubt it touched Lydia's heart. Dr. Luke says she heeded the things spoken of by Paul. The word means attend to. It was more than head knowledge. Listen. It's all fine and dandy if you know or believe in God. Scripture says so does Satan and his demons. But has it affected you? Is it something that you've attended to in your life? Has it transformed your life? How you think, how you live, how you act? Is it more than head knowledge? It went past her head. It resided in her heart. She believed it. She believed it, and it was evident in her actions. In fact, it was so evident in her actions that it caused the first thing that she would do after that fact would be to go home and share this with her family. She was, just like Scripture said, not just a hearer of the word, but a doer also. We're to be hearers and doers, to attend to the truth that we have been given, to love the Lord, to love one another. Paul speaks of this church as the one probably dearest and closest to his heart. A church that truly knew how to love, a church that heeded God's word, and Lydia being the first to hear and obey, gives her life to Jesus Christ and it's going to affect many others. We know that this would be the church by the man, the name by the man of a, the name by the man by the name of Epaphroditus would come out of and become a minister along with Paul, ministering to the needs. He would bring the offerings and supplies as this would become the church that supported Paul's ministry everywhere he went. He would Epaphroditus would bring those love offerings. He acknowledged that. But church history tells us that Lydia was a widow. She was a mother for sure. We understand that she was a successful businesswoman. That would mean that she would have servants and those who worked for her and served under her. How devoted to her faith was she? Listen, I'm sure that when she went back, and we're told in 15, when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she constrained us that she went back. Paul would baptize her and her household, which means that they too received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Paul would acknowledge that that was a true faith before he would baptize them. But imagine this woman when she went back. As her prayers are answered, and you know, and she accepts Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and goes back and starts sharing to her children, those of her household, those who served her, those who worked for her. And she said, "You know, you've wondered why on the Sabbath, which is the busiest day in the Roman market, the day that I can make the most money, you've wondered for all this time why I've gone down to the riverside to pray. You've wondered why I've, you know, chosen to seek this God that I heard of instead of being at a place where, you know, where we could get rich and I could sell my wares. People probably wonder why you would spend Sunday mornings so consistently and constantly, maybe even midweek services on Wednesday." And as she goes back and she goes, "Let me tell you why I've given up those Sabbaths to go down by the riverside, because today God revealed himself to me." Could you imagine that? He made himself real. And let me tell you how it's impacted me. And it made an impact in the lives of those that she that were with her in her household because of a divine appointment. That's how devoted she was to her faith. To be able to share, "The Lord heard me and he revealed just how much he loves me, that he sent his son to die for us, not just me, for us." And she shared with her family. And it resonated with them because it was so real to her. She lived it out. She heeded the words and attended to what was told her. And she was able to share that with somebody else. And it says that she constrained them. That means that she was a man of influence. She probably could run circles around Trump. She was a shrewd businesswoman. And no matter what they said, she was going to have them in her home. And she invited them in to show and he and Paul and his companions hospitality. Imagine this, that Paul would commend this church in Philippi that began with the heart of this one woman who was seeking the Lord, and then flow to her household as the church that was closest to his heart. When he addresses them in Philippians, just listen to the words in Philippians: "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day." He's looking back on this day and the fellowship that he has with this woman, Lydia. He's saying, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." What beautiful scripture. that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Still ministering to the church today. Imagine the impact of one soul won for Jesus Christ. And he know not only has he made divine appointments for each one of us to be sought after, but he has divine appointments for each one of us to touch the lives of somebody else, whether it be our family members or just somebody in the market. He touched the heart of Lydia, who won her household, impacted a city, took a continent by storm. And listen, today we're blessed and highly favored because of a God-directed appointment. As he directed the messengers, he directed the wind, he directed the method, and he directed the message that's still ministering to souls today here on our continent, the United States of America. Isn't that amazing? One soul, one for Jesus Christ, can make a huge impact. What about your divine appointment? Think about what the Lord did in order to open your heart to his love and his grace and his mercy, to open your eyes to the one who gave his life for you. Have you really ever thought about what he had to move and what he had to do and what he directed in order for your heart to be open to him? Isn't that something? Amazing, his love for each and every one of us. To know his love and how much Jesus loves each and every one of us. Divine appointment. We're here by divine appointment. And we are truly blessed and highly favored. Not because we were seekers, but because we're ones that were sought after by the true seeker. He's the one welcome here. And we just, what a blessing to know that he's done that for each and every one of us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And I just, if there's anybody here who has not made that decision, look, a lot of people believe. Lydia believed in God as she was down at the river. But because she had a heart to know him, he revealed himself to her. And it had such a great impact that she went and shared it, and it impacted her family and countless others afterwards. And if you're here this morning and have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about know him or believe that he exists or he is, but do you know him? If you don't know him, listen, this morning's your divine appointment. I believe the Lord has brought you specifically here this morning because he wants you to know how much he loves you. And if that's you this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as Lydia did and her family did, so that maybe you can impact your family, a generation, whatever it might be. If that's you this morning and you want to know that you know him in a personal way, I want you to raise your hand this morning. Anybody here? He moved heaven and earth that you would be here this morning. Amazing. And Heavenly Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, sometimes we just take for granted the grace that you've poured out upon our lives. Lord, this amazing example you've put in Acts, how you directed and moved these men, you moved ships, you instructed wind. Lord, to minister to this woman, Lydia, and set off a firestorm, Lord, that swept across that continent. Lord, I just, as I'm here, I just think of France, the people of Paris right now. Lord, who had a rich history in faith, but Lord, have been overcome by secular humanism and the lies of the enemy, Lord. They've suffered great loss in the face of the enemy, Lord, who came to steal and rob and destroy souls. Lord, I pray that we know that you have a remnant everywhere. I pray, Lord, that if you had had a Lydia in France, to Lord, to share your love and your grace and your mercy, Lord, that you would revive not only Paris and France, but Europe. That you would sweep across that country, Lord, that you would revive the United States of America to turn our hearts back to you, not to just profess that we know you, but Lord, to heed your word and put our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ. And we just pray that you would shine a light over in Paris right now and in France, that you would shine a light here. Lord, we know the times are coming where we're going to have to really hold on to the truth that our citizenship is with you, and we look to that day. But until then, Lord, we pray that you would use us, and as you have brought us by divine appointment, Lord, as you open up the opportunities to share with others, Lord, give us a heart and the strength and the hope to, Lord, share your love and your grace with others as we come in contact with them. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, we're blessed and highly favored. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.